As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. We're part of The Athletic Podcast Network. With me today, as always on Mondays, is my good friend, Michele Berra. Michele, what's up?
Well, it's 5 days, and then we have basketball. It's incredible. I can't wait to see them on the court, how they look like. I'm pretty pumped for this season. I mean, I know that it will last probably until December the 28th or something like that. Yeah. But it's exciting to get into a new season. So
it is. There's a lot of newness to this team. They're so new that if you look for their training camp roster out there on the internet, can't find it because they're just too new. They're too new. My assumption is that they don't have a training camp roster out there because they haven't completed the Al Horford trade.
Yeah.
Because technically, if you looked at the roster today, it would have to have the names Terrence Ferguson and Danny Green on it. It would have to.
Yes.
And I think it would cause all kinds of questions, confusion. Did they make the trade? Did they not make the trade? Well, you know, let's just not even mess with it and make sure that we have this right, you know, just a few days later. So I would guess tomorrow that we'll have word on that. And so I'm still getting a ton of questions about this. If you don't know why the trade hasn't been completed, it's because you can't combine players immediately after they're traded with another player. Yeah. You have to wait a certain amount of time, and that time ends tomorrow for the Thunder with Danny Green. So from the time they made the Schroeder trade until tomorrow is the exact amount of time that you have to wait to do a trade with combining players together. And so they're doing this so they can keep their giant trade exception. They actually could have done it earlier. They want to keep their giant trade exception they got from the Steven Adams deal. And it's really honestly not that big a deal because they've done individual workouts. And yesterday was the first day they could do team workouts. And they don't even have their full team. So they're just not worried about the situation. It's going to get taken care of. And Horford and Maledon will be in OKC. And it will be a very small deal.
Yeah, and maybe they are already in OKC for what we know. Like, they could be there already and just wait to report because of the trade rule. I believe, and I hope I have the terms right, that you have to wait, in general, 60 days in order to aggregate someone's salary. But due to the circumstances, that period has been trimmed to 19 days, which it seems impossible to me that it's already 18 days and that tomorrow will be day number 19. And but yeah, it seems that is the case. And maybe they are also waiting to declare the full training roster, the full training camp roster, is because maybe they will add some player to that trade. I'm not entirely sure. Vincent Poirier is almost surely in that deal, but who knows if they end up doing.
He's being moved. Yeah, he's being moved.
Yeah, so it would be Ferguson, Poirier, and Danny Green for Al Horford, which is and of course the rights to Theo Maledon. I don't know if they can do something on the sides, like maybe combine this with some other trade and do other stuff. It's still possible. I mean, they are waiting. I mean, I'm sure that the terms would be generally that with Philly, but mm-hmm. maybe a third team now that everything can be done. Maybe someone is interested in Al Horford. I don't expect that to be the case. I expect Horford to be in OKC and just to like start the season at least. And to be honest with you, I was really surprised about George Hill. I mean, he seemed really ready to spend a bunch of time in OKC.
Mm-hmm. He really did. He was great. He was great. I was surprised. And you can go back and listen to it on our feed. I put that up there along with SGA. Yeah, he was ready to just come and play and be a mentor. And part of that is, if you want to be moved, sure, you can throw a fit and act all certain ways, but it's probably better for everybody around if you just are compliant mm-hmm. and just hang out, mentor, and build your value.
Yeah.
So, I would say that he's doing right by the Thunder by acting that way and doing right by himself by acting that way. Because, I mean, I can't remember what the circumstances were with the Kings, but he signed a big deal with the Kings and then was not a King for very long.
Yeah, I think he lasted like 3.5 months, like just from September to February.
Yeah. I don't know. The Thunder are different. I know people like to kind of make fun of the Thunder and mm-hmm. their Thunder culture and whatnot, but like they do handle things differently. Yeah. I mean, just look at Houston right now. Because the situation that Houston has on their hands is not terribly dissimilar to the situation OKC had on their hands before with Russ and Paul George, or even with Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all that different. What's different is the way that things are being handled. And part of that's not their fault right now, because the coach has changed, the GM has changed, all in the midst of this chaos that they knew was looming. And so Daryl Morey was like, hey, here, Raphael Stone, you take the mess. And he's like, I'd love to take the mess because I'd love to have one of these 30 jobs, even though it's a complete mess. And he's excited to take the mess, but still, he's got to deal with the mess. And then Mike D'Antoni, longtime veteran coach, says, you know what? Don't want to deal with this mess. I'd rather be an assistant coach than deal with this mess.
Well, it's a special place to be an assistant coach, though. Like, to be the assistant coach of the guy.
For Steve Nash. It's very cute. It's very cute.
Yeah, yeah. It's cute, but also interesting. I mean, the fact that he kind of passed you're passing the torch or whatever is the saying. I think it's nice that Mike ends up as an assistant to his protege and Houston is kind of you framed it correctly. It's a mess right now, and I still cannot wrap my head around the Wall trade, the Wall Westbrook trade. To me, it seems that one team clearly won and the other clearly lost. But I'm hearing very smart people, one among, above all, Seth Partnow of The Athletic, who, as everyone knows, probably was part of the front office of the Bucks for the past few seasons. And he's very low on the trade for the Wizards' perspective. I think that Russ will make them incredibly better, and better than just the 7th/8th seed. Because, I mean, for all the critiques that you can say about Russ, when he has shooters around, he is an All-NBA player. And when you mm-hmm. add an All-NBA player to a team that already have one, or like very close to one, plus some very interesting role player, I think that the Wizards made a very good trade. Could they just trade Beal and don't do this deal? Of course. I mean, it's probably better, but I mean, to pay such a small asset to go from a contract that might be literally some wasted money, because it Wall can play like five games and be back in the be back injured. We don't know that, but like he teared his Achilles, and it, we know that this is something extremely delicate, and from the medical standpoint, it's the worst injury to have on a basketball court. So I don't know how this cannot be a total win by the Wizards. And just to close the, this topic, which is not the topic of today, I basically made fun of Fred for doing like the episode that you probably produced about the fake trades. And I was saying there's no way that you can move Wall for one pick. It's just like, yeah, it's nice that you tried, but come on, one pick? And it was 100% right. And so, I mean, to me, well, Wall can be great, but the point is not that in this moment, the perception of Wall is that he's a toxic asset and you are dealing with today.
Yeah.
And the fact that the Wizards were able to do such a trade to me is still unbelievable.
It's a bad trade. I mean, just straight up, it's bad. I don't understand how you can convince the Rockets to take on John Wall's contract and take back one pick, and not just one pick, but like one like very protected pick that it conveys, it is likely a pick in the teens.
Exactly. Yes.
And you just, I mean, I know that they were desperate to get off of Russ's contract, but now you have a contract that's the same length with a player that hasn't played ball. I don't get it. I mean, and I understand people don't like Westbrook and he's not going to help you win a championship. The Wizards' goals aren't to win a championship. You have to know like what are the goals of the franchise. If you make the goal for every team win the NBA title, then yeah, it's a horrible deal. They're not any closer to winning the NBA title than they were the other day.
Yeah.
They're not. But if the goal is let's be relevant, let's get our fans excited, let's make the playoffs, let's just make the playoffs. I'm not talking about winning a round. I'm not talking about doing anything. I just want to get in the playoffs. Let's just get our foot in the door.
Yeah.
Then you did great because you're trading a player who hasn't played for a player that has played. Not only has he played, he made the All-Star team and the All-NBA team last year.
Yeah.
Whether or not you think he should have, probably doesn't matter because he did. Like he made him. Like that's going to be in the record books from now until forever that Russell Westbrook was one of the 15 best NBA players last season.
Yeah.
So you have him. Bradley Beal didn't make the All-NBA team last year. I'm telling you that.
No, it was very close.
I think Beal's the better player.
Yeah.
But he didn't make it. Now they have the potential to have two All-NBA guys on their team.
Yeah.
And if you have two All-NBA guys in your team,
you're making the playoffs. You'll make the playoffs.
Yeah. Yes. You will absolutely make the playoffs. I don't understand why. We have to move the goalposts for Russell here. You have to move him. Yes, we don't like him as a championship point guard.
Yeah.
That we're all on the same page with that. But if you're saying this wasn't good for the Wizards, if you don't think that it's going to help the Wizards, then I just think that you're dead wrong. I think you're dead wrong. And if you think that it's good for Houston somehow, like, oh boy. Like, I mean, I've seen some people say like, well, everybody's saying that Kevin Durant's going to come back from his Achilles injury and be fine. Why then won't they say it about John Wall? Because John Wall didn't play for 2 years before he tore his Achilles.
Yeah.
He's had other leg issues.
It's totally different type of player. And the only critique that I can understand, because we discuss it like a lot of times, like how Russ impacts the development of the young guys. Mm-hmm. You can say that after Reggie, probably no rookie had a very good development in OKC. Like Domas was not good in OKC. Mitch McGarry, Campaign. You can name all the rookies that OKC got with Russell as the main guy. The development was not good. You can also argue that, except for Sabonis, there was no good material to work with. But it's, if you want to put it in the sense that Washington has 2-3 very good young players that wants to develop, and Russ may mm-hmm. slow down or derailed the development curve of a young player, that might be fair. Also, you can say that if those players are any good, they will come up even if Russ is there. Because, mm-hmm. I would love to see Danny with the ball in his hands a bit. Rui is a guy that can create his own shot. They will not be able to have as many touches with Russ around. But no. If they are good enough, then this will be a secondary problem. Because you already have, as you said, 2 All-NBA guys. And this is the league. I mean, either you go as Michael Porter Jr. that doesn't care about his status and just play and puts himself into a relevant role, or you just don't. So I do think that it's fair to say that this will change the development curve of these young players, but still, I would do that trade 100% of the times if I'm Washington.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
I would do that. Yeah. Honestly, it's also just like, give yourself a chance to be on national television.
Yeah. Because
there's going to be nights where somebody on the Lakers has COVID, they have to move the game or cancel the game or whatever. I mean, that's going to happen in the next 5 to 6 months. It's going to happen. And, oh, wow, look, Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal are playing tonight. Let's put them on TV because I think people want to watch them on TV. So I mean, I just think that it's just helpful to your franchise just to give it some juice. Like a franchise that has they have not been relevant since the 2016-17 season. And they have a player that is saying that he wants to stay, and they're saying he won't trade him and Bradley Beal. Good, don't trade him, but also you've got to put a winning team around him. Yeah. And so perhaps Russell helps you. You get your guys that will develop around him. And, you know, because really one more losing season may cause him to leave. And he may leave anyways. He may want to go anyways. And you could argue that they should have just seen how this season went with John Wall. If they're terrible, fine. Then you get another lottery pick and a really good draft. And then you trade Bradley Beal. Sure. Yeah. But the Wizards... not every team can tank and do it well.
Yeah, and it's tough.
I don't know. I have confidence in the Thunder front office to do it well. I'm not sure that I have confidence in the Wizards front office to do it well. And if you can keep Bradley Beal, who's younger than everybody thinks he is, then I think that you have to give it a shot.
Is he 26?
Yeah, I think he is.
It's 1994, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is younger than Nader.
Younger than Nader.
It is. Oh, it is true, I think.
Yeah,
I
think you're right.
And also, it's true that you could probably extract a lot of value from Bradley Beal this season. Because, I mean, Milwaukee was probably going to give you at least an extra first rounder. Mm-hmm. But I also agree on the fact that if everything goes well for Beal, and he has like a 1-2 very good season alongside Russ, and maybe Russ has a good season as well, you can tank 2 seasons from now and just increase the value of the players that you have, which is basically what OKC did with Russ and PG. They run the thing for 2 years. They were good enough to extract value from both. And then they start going into the tanking mode. You have 2 very good seasons. You make Bradley Beal happy. Maybe you made a deal with him and saying, well, give us, like, sign this contract. We'll make an effort to be competitive, extremely competitive with you. And then if nothing working in 2 years, he will probably have a lot of value and we can move it wherever you want. So, which is the same deal that Presti did with Paul George. So I do think that it's not harmful for OKC, for Washington, what they did. I mean, Beal will have value. Of course, there are injuries. I mean, we've seen it with Klay Thompson. You think you have signed like an awesome contract, and then the guy turns his ACL and then his Achilles, and boom, right. Now is in the discussion for the worst contract in the league, which is something that probably should interest OKC.
You think? Adela?
Well, would you trade for him? I'm saying trade for him for a reason.
To get the protections removed from the trades, yeah, from the picks. I mean, I'd do that. I would do that. I would just say, hey, you don't even have to really give us anything. Just remove the protections. What else would you ask for? What else do they have?
Yeah, well, they have the beautiful Minnesota pick who can be swapped with OKC's one, which is another bite to the apple. Like, say that we will swap 2021. We have the rights to swap 2021, and you remove the protection to that pick in the future, which is something.
Hmm.
But it's not just...
I don't
just
know that they do that. Do you think they do that?
Okay,
I don't know that they do that.
Or the Warriors.
The Warriors.
I don't think they trade him, period. I think they want to keep him just out of respect. But if they are amenable to a trade, which gives them, I don't know, George Hill plus whatever, like, you can spare them a lot of money. Like, really a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And you can complete it, like, quite soon. You can even say Ariza and George Hill for Klay Thompson. And I don't do it just for the picks. I do it because in 2.5 years, maybe Klay could be your spacer. Because I agree he will not be the same. It's shut in the dark, but I would be interested to see if he's a guy that you can bring along and be ready when OKC is ready. Because, like, to be honest with you, if you have Klay instead of Ariza and Hill, you are even worse than what you are right now. And we will discuss it in the lineups and whatever, depth chart.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wonder. Again, I think they won't. It's gross to trade Klay Thompson for George Hill. And
they just can't do that. They just can't. They just cannot do it.
I know. But he is... I mean, the risk that you have 4 years of that money is real. And at some point, you have to account for that. OKC, I mean, probably they will not be on the tax, even if Shea and Pokuševski somehow sign a max deal.
Mm-hmm.
Even with Klay's money. So,
yeah,
but they agree it's gross, and they will at least try to see if they can somehow rehabilitate his value and or put him on the court or whatever.
Well, don't you think even if Trevor Ariza goes to the Warriors, he's still just trying to deal with his stuff, right?
It's, I don't know. I mean, I'm laughing because I don't know what those stuff.
I don't know for sure either.
Yeah.
But even if I would guess that his stuff would get wrapped up real quick if he got to go start for the Warriors.
Yeah, me too. And to be honest, that improves. I mean, George Hill and Ariza for Klay today improves Golden State quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like,
without a doubt, it does.
Probably it doesn't put them in title contention for real, because you still need Klay to win a title. I mean, Klay is the piece that makes everything work. And this is probably why they don't do it, because they know that their shot is 2 years from now when Wiseman is ready and Steph hopefully is still healthy. You have at least another shot with Klay. And you don't sell this for a non-shot with George Hill and Trevor Ariza. But yeah, the Ariza deal is weird. I mean, I expect him to not like to pull an Iguodala on OKC. And and it's probably for the best. I mean, I don't think Sam minds like the fact that he's not here.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
I mean, he's welcome to come, I think. But if you don't, well... fine with us. We will probably wait and either cut you for to save some money or move you for as little as a second rounder, which and a trade exception, maybe. I don't know. Something like that would be enough to move someone like Trevor Ariza. I don't think that there is value there. Unless you get a Felicio type of deal where you say, well, please, I mean, I'm taking like a bad contract. Please give me something. I still think that George Hill and Trevor Ariza for Otto Porter makes a lot of sense for Chicago. Because as we've seen from some very nice video, I don't think like playing basketball at a professional level is on the top of the list of Otto Porter's priorities.
Yeah, I think you're right. I would do that. I would do that for sure. I would try to trade for him. I wonder if you could make him into something.
I don't think he touched like OKC's ground.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think he just, well, whatever you're doing with your 26 millions, great. Keep doing it. We'll have your rights. And if you end up playing, or if you want to play, please tell us where and we will cut you and you can go play there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that trade makes a ton of sense. But maybe Chicago wants to try first and maybe do something at the deadline, depending on where they are, because trading for Ariza and Hill makes sense if you are in playoff hunts. If you are not, then I don't think that trade makes a ton of sense for them, because you can just let Porter expire. You let Felicio expire. You don't pay anything. Mm-hmm. And you just acquire new players in next year free agency, which might be what they want to do.
Seems like that's where they're headed to me. But if you can extract some value, that's great.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Shout out to John Hamm, by the way, who has been predicting this since the day that trade was made, that this is going to be a Andre Iguodala type of situation where Trevor Ariza is like, you know what? I'm going to save my mileage for a team that's going to use me in a way that, you know, a contender can use me, or a team that's going to make the playoffs can use me. He probably knows, like, I don't have a lot left and I would like to get another contract. And it worked for Andre Iguodala. Like, it worked very well for Andre Iguodala.
Yeah. And maybe there is some things that he has to attend. Like, it could be a mix of two reasons, because you can make the exact same argument for George Hill. You can say, well, you're a veteran, you're a 50% shooter from three, you cannot really improve your resume by playing for OKC. But I mean, probably Ariza has something going on. Maybe somehow.
I think he does. I don't think that's untrue.
Yeah. So I wonder, in a different situation, maybe he could say, well, yeah, I will play. Please, like, let me rest more than what you plan to, and maybe play me like fake starter minutes and we are done. Like something like
that.
Which is probably what George Hill will do. I don't expect him to pull off a Chris Paul. Like, I will be the best version of myself. I will carry this team to win. I think, and from the words that I listened in his interview, that he's ready for a mentor / very good veteran presence on the court type of role, which is
it's great.
The most you can accept, you can ask from a guy like that, because again, this team needs veteran leadership, and it's not that they need like veteran play on the court. But like, I think that George Hill represents like a consummate pro, which will teach. And so will Al Horford, by the way. Horford, I think, can help a little bit more on the court because you can do stuff with Horford that you couldn't do with Adams, for example. Like, you can play handoffs. You can. He's more of a player where I'm interested in the feet on the court, on the feet on the court, because it can unlock a few stuff. Hill, he will be an amazing shooter. He will probably show that you can defend even positionally without going all the way. And it's also important, like, to see those things on the court. But, I mean, this is a very convoluted argument by me. But, yeah, I like where George Hill is, and I like it for the Thunder.
I do, too. Teo is a better passer, or he projects to be a better passer than George Hill has been in his career. But they're not crazy dissimilar outside of that, as far as players go. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like the idea of him showing Teo, like, here's the way. Here's how you become a 12-year pro in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, for a second-round pick, it's not common for a second-round pick to play 12 years in the NBA. So if you can get mentored by a guy like that, even for a short time, because it may just be for a short time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's honestly what could be the case for OKC. And George Hill, as they're waiting. The Thunder are waiting. They have their phone on ring, and they're waiting for somebody to actually make a good offer for George Hill. And I think someone eventually will. I think someone will see, you know what, we're really close. And the Thunder are like, listen, we don't have to get anything of rotational value back. Just give us something in the future, and we'll be good to go.
Yeah, and I was thinking about even a simple deal, again, with the Lakers. Like, it's not out of the question that with Marc Gasol and Davis, they will realize, well, we do have enough from the center position. We don't really need Harrell here. Maybe the pick and roll partnership will not work as expected with Dennis Schroeder, and they will like Marc Gasol to play more with Schroeder for some reasons and say, well, you know what? We may need an extra defender because, yay, we are out of the Caruso sensational moments and we really need some veteran help and a guy who shots 50%, who proves to be still a very good defender, maybe can close games for us because you can have Schroeder, Caldwell-Pope, Hill, LeBron, and Anthony Davis. This sounds like a very good lineup to me if you want to go small. And like the contract that Harrell has is not toxic because it's 2 years, very reasonable numbers. I think it's 9.5 or 9 point something. So
he's got a player option too on the second year.
Yeah, so you can say, well, okay, just you can either reroute him if there is someone who wants him, and you can take back Cristiano Felicio again.
You're just gonna keep saying it until it happens.
Yeah, hopefully. I don't know. Even like Tristan Thompson. Say that Tristan Thompson doesn't really work in Boston, and Boston wants another option there because they know that Tice will be the guy who closed for them, and like they want a guy like Trez, or they want a guy like George Hill. Who knows? I mean, I think the Lakers are a very good option because Trez is a nice player to try out. If it works, especially in the regular season, it's great. If it doesn't, it's not a bad contract. You can trade him, I think. I don't think he has like a no trade clause or anything. So maybe yes, due to the structure of the contract, and this could be a problem for them. But that I should have checked that. I wonder if you sign a contract like that, if you have a no trade clause. But I mean, in these moments, you can probably find ways to make it work. I know that from Trey's perspective, to change locations again will not be very nice because it's the third team in basically a span of 12 months and it's not awesome for you. But, I mean, again, barring that thing, which is relevant, you can find places where George Hill fits more than like a rebuilding team. I do think that a lot of contenders will look into George Hill due to the nature of his contract. You can basically say that you play 1 year. I think that a team like the Lakers will love to have him for the entire length of the contract, but maybe a team like the Raptors will look into a contract like that. They have a lot of guards, so I don't know. But even the Heat, like teams like that, like you can trade Olynyk for George Hill and probably help yourself, because like even if you have a tons of guards, a veteran like Hill will help you like quite a lot. So
yeah, if Avery Bradley is like, oh man, Avery Bradley's over the hill, he can't play.
Yeah.
Then you just, yeah, you said Kelly Olynyk, or I think they just re-signed somebody to a deal that's around $10 million, didn't they?
Yeah. It's Jay Crowder. Is it?
No, Jay Crowder is
gone.
No, Phoenix. It's gone. Myers Leonard just signed.
Why
a deal
did that's like that contract I didn't understand. It's almost the Miles the Mason Plumlee contract. Like,
yeah.
Why?
It's because of this.
Okay.
It's because of this.
It's because they all want George Hill?
It's because they saw, they say, we're going to pay you the just right under the amount that George Hill is paid, which is true. I think he's 9.4. Yeah. George Hill's 9.5. It works in the trade machine.
Yeah, but it's such an easy contract to move. So I'm not really worried. And again, the better George Hill plays for OKC, the more options he will have. Because if it's just like Chicago or just, I don't know, Houston or whatever, then maybe you end up doing like Danilo, who had just one option in Miami. It was a good option, not a great option for him. And he decided, well, I'll just be here. And for George Hill, that means probably if you find a good team where you can really work, it means having $10 million next season. If you don't, it means being cut and have just $1 million on your pocket. Maybe you can recoup some of that, but it would be great for you to just be awesome in one team and just take those $10 million. So I think he has all the interest to be helpful and to be great on the court, which is not exactly what OKC is looking for, but
yeah, no, it's not. I've got 7 minutes.
Okay.
So let's go through our starting lineups. The Thunder are going to play a game in just a few days. Yeah. They're going to play a real live game where they try to take a basketball and put it in a hoop as a team.
Is it the 12th?
And or it's the 12th.
Okay.
The 12th. So let's cobble up a starting lineup here. Let's just assume everybody's available. Mm-hmm. We know that two players have tested positive for COVID. There are two players that we haven't seen in any of these photos. Two players that we haven't heard from that I would expect to hear from. I'm not reporting this. I'm not saying that this is who it is. This is just a guess. My guess is that it's Lou Dort and Justin Jackson, because we've heard from everybody else. Yep. And if we haven't heard from them, it's probably because they're not a part of the rotation. But we've seen Isaiah Roby, we've seen Admiral Schofield, we've seen Kenrich Williams and Moses Brown. Like, I don't think that we would talk to Moses Brown anyways. I don't even know what I'd ask Moses Brown, to be honest. I don't know what anybody would ask Moses Brown. So they're not going to talk to him, but he's in pictures. And so it's this game where you like piece together who has talked, who's in these photos, who's not in the photos, and who hasn't talked. Lou Dort, Justin Jackson, haven't seen them.
Yeah.
So that would be my guess. I don't know that's for sure, but that would be my guess.
It could also be Jason Randall, something like that, because he should be, you know.
It very well could be, because he's not in any photos either, and we definitely have not talked to him.
Yeah.
So it could be, and I think he's on just a 10-day.
Yeah, I think it's I don't know. But anyway, it's weird that Lou is not in any picture. You would figure that he...
It's weird that we haven't talked to him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a guy he's one of the three guys, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
right? He is. The Dort.
Yes.
Dort, SGA, Bazley. And Bazley's talked twice. I asked him a question yesterday, which I actually...
I have yet
he
to
and
listen.
I are totally cool, number one. Number two, I asked him just like, what are your defensive goals for the year?
Mm-hmm.
And his answer was actually pretty intriguing because he said, and I know I'm taking up like all 7 minutes before we even get to our lineup. but he said he is very focused on that end. Wants specific defensive assignments. He said, I'm going to ask to defend certain players. And he wants to defend like the best players in the league. He didn't say any names, but I'm sure he wants to defend Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, yeah.
He even said he wants to defend specific guards on other teams.
Yeah,
and so if he can be a player that defends not just threes and fours, which is what he did last year,
mm-hmm.
but can step out and defend really good shooting guards, step out and defend like point. He said he wants to defend point guards.
Yeah.
If he can do that, I don't know if he can do that. If he can do that, I mean, then he's a three, right?
Then he's a player that you don't have to worry about on defense, which is what you need, what you really need. And he's a guy, like, I remember us discussing after Clippers versus OKC in the bubble, a few possessions where Darius was paired with Paul George. And he was toe and toe with him. Like he was moving, he was like shadowing him. And it was great to watch. Now, like 5 seconds of defense against Paul George does not give you the defensive player of the year title, but it gives you at least a glimpse of what Darius can be on defense. And he's for sure part of my front court rotation as of now, front court starting rotation. Together with Horford, I had this basically. I did this backcourt two spots, a wing spot, and two frontcourt spot. I have two versions of the starting lineup because I initially made one with Shea, Hill, Dort, Bazley, and Horford, which sounds extremely fair, but then I thought, well, maybe. This will give a lot of space to both Pokuševski and Maledon because I have them first off the bench. I kind of forgot Maledon until like half of this podcast, and so I had to, forgive me. But they are both in the first like line of guys that will probably play.
Say your starting lineup again for me.
One is Shea, Hill, Dort, Bazley, and Horford.
No Dort?
No.
You say Dort?
Shea, Hill, Dort, Bazley, Dort. Horford.
Okay. Dort is the three.
And the other one is Shea, Dort, Pokuševski, Bazley, and Horford. Which sounds like almost... sounds too
I
much.
Hope it happens.
Sounds too much.
It does.
But like, I don't know if Poku will be ready, but there will...
Yeah.
It's not that OKC was afraid to start rookies that were not totally ready. Like Domas was not
they
ready.
They weren't. Yeah, yeah.
But Steven, for example, didn't start. Reggie didn't start. Campaign didn't start. So you don't know. But
so very different teams though.
Yeah, exactly. They don't need to win. The only problem with these kind of idea is you don't want to ruin a player development by putting him in a position where he can just make mistakes. So
you don't want to run him into the ground.
Exactly. So I'm totally fine in and to be fair, I will probably bet that Hill is the starter and you probably have the second line of players in Maledon, Diallo, Justin Jackson, Poku and Muscala. And then the third line in Jackson and Jerome, Miller, Leaf and Schofield. I don't know if Miller will ever play for OKC.
I'm not sure either.
Yeah.
He acted like he would when he talked to us the other day.
Yeah,
but
you know.
Honestly, who knows?
Yeah, so you basically have, I think that the 11th man rotation will be, or 12th man rotation will be Shea, Maledon, Jackson, and Jerome, Hill and Diallo, Dort, Jackson, Bazley, Pokuševski, Horford, and Muscala. And then maybe you can add TJ Leaf to that group. So 13 guys.
Maybe.
I mean, he's still... I was surprised to see his age. He seems to be in the league from like a lot of time, but he's just 1 year older than Shea. So he was pretty young when he was drafted. So it's not that... Yeah. It's the same age as Ty Jerome.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Yeah,
it's young. Early to say he will not play. I would not bet my house on him being a contributor in the future, not even, I don't know, my computer or my cell phone. But yeah, I mean, there's still a chance for TJ Leaf, especially if you don't play him at the three. Because to be honest with you, what is the space that Indiana had for him to play? He had Thaddeus Young, Domas, Thaddeus Young, well, two seasons ago, then Domas, Miles Turner. It's not the right fit. I wonder what happened.
Are you talking yourself into TJ Leaf here? Is that what's
happening? No, I'm talking myself into give a shot to TJ Leaf.
Hey, I'll tell you, the Thunder did not think they could get TJ Leaf for essentially get an asset and TJ Leaf. And when that came available, they were like, oh yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
They're excited. I think this is BJ Mullen's redux. But
yeah,
he'll probably play some this year. I mean, I think like most certainly he will play some this year.
Yeah.
On this team, just because of the circumstances that we're in.
So it's a top 13 guy. I think he's clearly ahead than a guy like Schofield or
I think so.
Roby or even Kendrick Williams, guys like that.
Probably so. He's a first round pick that
didn't pan out.
Yeah, you know, at one point he was a guy that people thought would be a good player.
Not and us.
I never thought that, us. But some people thought that.
Especially when we heard, he's going to play the three for Indiana. Good luck. Oh, yeah. Good luck with that.
Hard at that. Yeah, he's actually a pretty decent athlete, though. Like he's a good athlete. Yeah. He doesn't look like a good athlete, but he's a pretty good athlete.
He cannot play the three in the league. I'm that.
Well, not at the four. He's a good athlete.
Yeah. Yeah.
He can jump a little bit.
Yeah.
Here's my starting lineup: SGA, Dort, Hami, Bayes, and Horford. I know.
Why are you doing this to me?
Because I just really believe that's what it's going to be.
I hope you're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong too, but I just have this feeling that we always forget about Hami. We always forget about him. And even into last season, we forgot about him. And day one, he was in the rotation. He is like he's a great camp player, I think, and really shows out and really tries super hard.
I mean,
and wants to be a part of the team. He's been a part of the Thunder longer than anybody else that's been on the team. I just think that they're going to say, we're going to reward you for your work ethic, for the example that you've been to these young guys, and we're going to throw you out there. I'm just telling you. He played in spots where we didn't think he was in the rotation going into last year.
And to be fair, we were right.
We were right. I'm just saying that to start the season, I could see a world where Hamidou Diallo is the starting three. That's all.
I mean,
I know.
No, I mean, I know that your heart is in a different place, but I like what you're saying. I mean, it is possible. To be honest, I have him as the first guy off the bench kind of role, depending on where George Hill is. Yeah, yeah. And I do think that he might be a guy that you can start some, like maybe if George Hill is not here and Poku is not ready. Mm-hmm. But with Hill, I mean, it's you want to give Shea space. This is what I think goes against your argument, which is, again, I know why you're saying this, but We've witnessed it for a year, maybe 2 years. With Hami on the court, there's just no space. There is transition. There is defense sometimes. There is energy. The team is frisky and whatever, but there is no space on the court. And if you want to have Shea as your lead ball handler, you need to give him space. And either Lu Dort has become like a 38% shooter, which is not likely, and then you have all the space you need. Or with Diallo, it's just too tough.
Yeah. I don't think they care about that.
But you,
I don't know how much they care about it.
Well, yeah, you made things hard for Shea, which can be also a development technique. Like it will get better, but now you have to try to be a 35%, 35-point scorer with no space on the court. Let's try that.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right. Maybe this is a development strategy.
Yeah. It's, that's the thing. Yeah, I don't know. That would just, that's just my prediction. That's not the starting lineup that I would want. That's just my prediction.
Which is the one that you want?
I'd put Hill in for Hami.
No, so SGA, no problem.
Hill. I just don't know if I'm ready for that much excitement.
Yeah, I mean it's.
I would like to see. I'd like to see Poku play against second units. Like I want to see him have a chance against second units before they just play him against, like start him against Kawhi and Paul George. You know, like, okay, let's, whoa.
The guy will chuck it anyway, I think. He will shut it anyway.
I hope so. I just, let's ease him in a little bit.
Yeah.
I'd like to ease him in a little bit because I don't want him to be deer in the headlights like Domas was his rookie season with OKC.
Yeah.
Because he's out of position. Two, he's playing against all these guys that he's kind of like idolized over the years, and he was like deer in the headlights, like not a good player.
Yeah.
For OKC. Yeah. And if he had a chance to have Cantor's role that year, mm-hmm. I think things could have been a lot different for him.
Well, it's the role he had in that game in Minnesota where it was just sensational. And we all said, well,
Indiana.
No, yeah. No. I'm speaking about last game of the season.
When he played that game. Absolutely.
I had, I think, 9 points, I don't know how many rebounds, 5 or 6 assists, and he was playing like free-flowing basketball.
He was great. Yeah. Sensational. Yeah. Yeah.
He looked the player that he is now. And I remember us commenting on the fact that, yeah, that is the Domas that we like. And it might be trading Steven Adams to let that guy be the guy. It didn't go that way, but it could have been a possibility, I think.
It could have been, definitely. And that's why I'm like with Poku. It's like, okay, like I want to give him free reign, but I also like he's likely the youngest player in the NBA this year.
Yeah,
he was the youngest player in the draft. I don't know if he's like the youngest like two way. I don't know that for sure. So you can't. I can't say for sure that he's the youngest guy in the NBA, but it's likely he's the youngest guy in the NBA. And he's just got to the United States, like just got here, and. I would prefer to kind of ease him in, develop him a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, you can start him by the end of the season. You don't have to start. He doesn't have to start now. I mean, I was just wondering about, from a development standpoint, if they want to just see what they have. But
if he feels comfortable and he's confident and he just doesn't really care what's in front of him, which there's been a lot of, like Dort felt that way. Mm-hmm. Like Dort was like, I don't care. Like, I'll defend James Harden.
Yeah. Just.
Okay, great. Throw him out there. Let him go get it. You know, Terrence Ferguson was more, fearful on the court than Dort was. So throw him out there. I think if Poku feels that way, then mid-season or maybe after the George Hill trade, like throw him out there. Mm-hmm. But we also I don't know if that will happen, but I know for sure like Hami will be ready, and Hami will want that spot.
Oh yeah. And maybe he improved. You can improve in the shooting department. Like Alvaro Camino became a reliable shooter. Mm-hmm. Not a great shooter, but a reliable one. And if that is what happens with Hami, you earned it.
Mm-hmm. He was with the lethal shooter guy during the offseason.
The one that made Robertson a 50% shooter in the bubble. 35% shooter in the bubble. 32% shooter in the bubble. I don't remember the figure.
Oh, you can't blame that on...
No. I was trying to not put too many expectations on the lead shooter.
But I wouldn't expect it. I would just take it as it comes. Thanks so much for listening to our show. We appreciate you guys. Hope you guys have a great Monday. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday. Leave us a 5-star Apple Podcast review. It's in your Purple Podcast app. Lots of you have done it in this last week. That's super helpful. If you could just do that today, that would be wonderful. Make sure you follow McKelly on Twitter at Mikey Barra. Follow me on Twitter at Andrew K. Schlecht. And we will talk to you guys on Wednesday.